Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 245 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's victory over Fordham and look forward to this Saturday's game against Buffalo. We also hear from you on the Runza Reaction Line.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode's brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. Justin, I love this team's sauce. All right. So, okay. Like, above all else, the team we're playing this weekend, like, they got the best sauce.
Oh, Buffalo sauce.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about, like, the moxie.
No, I'm, like, totally being literal right here. I love Buffalo sauce.
I'm speechless. I didn't know what was happening.
How's that for throwing you a curveball out the gate?
right off the bat, man. It's fun to win a game, hey?
Yeah, maybe we should rewind and talk a little bit about Fordham, huh?
I guess, before you cut to the buffalo sauce.
Right.
It was fun to win a game and to do what was expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we get these wins and it's just like agonizing when it's not close, or supposed to be not close, but then it's closer than you think and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we took a team's best shot, and then that script that I feel like I've predicted so many times and has actually rarely happened in the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years, where you take their best shot, it's close in the first half, and then superior strength and conditioning and size dominates the second half. And
Yep.
It happened.
Yeah. I think there was a little bit of apprehension from all of Husker Nation throughout the first 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
There was definitely some, oh boy, here we go type of moments, but they reined it in. They locked down and they got the job done. It felt a little bit like Husker games, of days of yore, in which they just kept scoring. You know, towards the end of that game, it's like, oh my gosh, when's the last time that we hung, what was the final? It was the 50s? Like, when's 50, the last time?
52-7.
Yeah, when's the last time we hung 50 on anybody? I don't even remember.
Maybe Bethune-Cookman.
Maybe. Yeah, that's probably right. I don't know what that game was, but that's probably
first
in the
year,
50s.
Maybe?
Yeah.
To replace the Akron game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, you talk about how maybe everybody was a little nervous. So it was great fun to be back in the stadium and could not help but notice, I'm trying to think how to say this delicately. I mean, just a lack of enthusiasm for the starting quarterback from the crowd. Like, even when they're introducing, him to, you know, they do the roster.
Right.
A little, yeah, just like cheering for a lot of people, but no real cheers for him. And there, I don't think it's accurate to say he was booed,
sure,
but there was, you could hear some rumblings
on
some incompletions early in the game. But he did just fine. His stat line was 17 of 23 for 254 yards. That's an 11-yard average, a touchdown, no interceptions. And he ran 8 times for 33 yards for 2 touchdowns, and that is just, you know, that's just perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 8's a little bit much, but what you've got is a few scrambles. The long run was 19 yards, so you've got one good run. A couple touchdown scampers and short yardage situation where we've really struggled last year for several years. And then, yeah, maybe a scramble or two. Probably a sack. I don't know if it got sacked. Anyway, that's great. I do want to say that there's a little bit of a grain of salt component to how you react to this game. I think the biggest reaction is what we've already said, which is we did what we were expected to do.
Right.
Which is handle the team. Right.
You know, though, when you say that, there were teams, even some supposedly good teams, that lost to FCS schools yesterday.
That's a good point.
I can't list them all off, but Washington comes to mind.
Yeah, losing to Montana.
So, like, before people are quick to just write this off as like, yeah, we won, but it doesn't mean anything. Oh my gosh, can you imagine if this was our first game of the season? Like, if we did not play a week zero game against a formidable opponent in Illinois last week, this would have set this team off on a really good start to this season. Start the game at, you know, start the season at home and play a soft team that you usually do at the start of the season and get things off on the right foot, work out some of those kinks that obviously were not, you know, they were not firing on all pistons last week. I just feel like the whole narrative of this season would be totally different at this point if we had not played a week zero game. And so, what ifs, you know, like you can argue that they don't mean anything, but I think let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. They did what they were supposed to do. Are there still things that they need to improve on? Of course, but at least for the time being, we can say good. They reacted appropriately after last week's loss, and we are seeing some signs of some growth and some progress on this team that hopefully will continue next week against Buffalo. And then once we get into the thick of it with the meat of our season, they have, you know, just a little bit more of a chip on the shoulder, a little bit more fire in the belly to play these teams that, you know, play these games that maybe matter a little bit more.
Great points. Yeah, it's, yeah, well said.
I just don't want to be one of those guys who's like, oh yeah, like, do we have to be cynical about everything? Nebraska won on Saturday. Let's celebrate that. Like, I really want to fight against the tendency that I think that we are learning to just be angry and, I don't know how to put it. I just feel like maybe there is a pattern of, there's like a psychological pattern that we're falling into that happens when you lose a lot. And I don't want to, I want to push back against that, I guess.
You know, and it was a day for maybe the purity of the game, if you think about it, aside from the overmatched opponent, but just the whole red carpet experience. And, you know, there, again, to your point, cynicism around keeping the sellout streak going, which I'm so glad it happened. I think Trev handled it in a really great way where, you know, they came up with a creative solution. They did a little bit of fundraising, got some checks written, and they were transparent that, hey, we needed to sell some tickets. So we got some donors to cut some checks, but also we're going to give these tickets away. And I can't remember who wrote it. I read a great piece from Hail Varsity. Piece from Hail Varsity earlier this week saying, if you're stressed out or if you're irritated about the sellout streak, like, let's think a little bit about what goes into a sellout streak. And Anna Dirk had a great piece today about it too.
Yeah,
and
sorry, that's thinking, what I was anticipating.
Yeah, I'm thinking let's find a way to make this red carpet experience permanent. And you know, maybe it took a low moment in Husker history to bring it out, but there's no reason that Husker football be only accessible to people who can afford to make that donation. You know, if you want to talk about growing the fan base, things are only getting more expensive in this day and age. And you know, you don't want to just grow the fan base in the upper middle class, you know, of Nebraskans. You want to grow the fan base across the whole society.
Sure.
There's so many benefits, I think, to following a team, having some loyalty. I think the football teaches life lessons. And yeah, so Dirk Chatelain had a great piece about that today in the World Herald. But yeah, let's just find a way to maybe every time a team sends back tickets. Of course, this means someone's going to have to donate for that, right?
Right.
So that might have to be a permanent fund, but like, let's keep this going. When Oklahoma comes to town next year and those tickets are like the hot commodity, let's get some low income kids into the stadium and say, you know what, you have a place here, whether we're playing Fordham or whether we're playing Oklahoma, and let's grow this fan base. I think we should. I don't know.
Love it, man. That's great.
We'll chip in something. I mean, I was running on Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember. And I was like, when I got done, I was just thinking the whole time I got done, I was going to call you and be like, let's donate a ticket cost or something. And then like when I got done with my run was when I saw they had
announced the experience.
So okay.
It's got me back to what you were saying last week. Like if you had it within your power to make the difference in keeping the sellout streak alive, would you act? Well, somebody kind of heard that call this week and they did it.
Yeah. Yeah. The more I thought about it since last week, the more I was like, yeah, I wish I'd been more forceful in that. Like, definitely. Right now we are a college football program struggling to get to 500. And if you lose the sellout streak, like, there's just nothing left. We're just another 500 program. Like, who are we without that? You're just starting over. So I think that it's probably really motivating to the athletic department to think about new and creative ways to keep the sellout streak going. That might include shrinking the stadium because there is a sellout streak. You know, you wider lose that seats, sellout streak.
Wider seats for big boys like Mike.
You lose that sellout streak and there's just like so little motivation. It's like, well, it's gone. What do we care anymore?
Oh boy.
Time to start over at number one. So anyway, that's all I gotta say about that.
That does make me curious. Who has the second longest sellout streak? I'd be curious. I don't even know who it is.
Oh, I feel like it's not even close. I remember it was like Notre Dame for a while at like 100 games, but then they didn't sell out a stadium for a game. And it's people want to quibble about, well, it's butts and seats is what really counts. Like, yeah, but like assigning your dollars to something, what could matter more than giving your dollars to something you care about? And the fact that there are Nebraskans, I don't know if it's individuals or corporations, they care so much about the sellout streak that they're willing to buy tickets that they're not going to use just because, like, that's just deep passion. And it would be better to have more people in the stands, but the fact that there's people who care that much about the program, I think is pretty incredible.
You know, they do say there is no place. What's the rest of it? Like
Iowa?
No,
it's not that. Certainly not.
Who even like wants to wear black and yellow? You look like a dang bee. And that bee movie was terrible.
So it was fun to be in the stadium again. It was great. It was great. I found myself just kind of a little bit more emotional about everything. It kind of reminded me of the spring game where I think I shared that was a really meaningful experience, but I don't know. There's just so much going on and the red balloons going up after the first touchdown, the student section lifting up the Power of Red sign, the marching band, the...
Do you remember when they held up the DJ Khaled thing?
Yeah.
And everybody was like everybody over the age of like 25 was like, what is this?
I don't get it.
And people were like angry about it.
It was so remember funny. When they said welcome to your worst nightmare though for the Miami game? That was cool.
I do not remember that. And I think I was at that game and it was awesome.
Our friend at Paper Stadiums has been working on a newer model of Memorial Stadium and he has included that as an insert.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's really cool. Well, can you think of any highlights, any standouts from the game that maybe we should mention? The kicking game was much better in terms of field goals and extra points and whatnot. So pleased with that. Shout out to Mr. Culp for bouncing back.
Yep, no missed extra points, no missed field goals. I think nothing but touchbacks on kickoff. Yeah, nothing but touchback. They have zero kickoff returns.
That's perfect.
They also have zero punt returns. Did we punt?
I don't know.
I feel like we punted twice.
Yeah, I was going to say. Twice. Yeah. Okay.
So that's exciting. Cam, Taylor, Britt fumbled.
Yeah. Okay, so I actually ended up deleting my tweet because I think people misunderstood me when I said, hey, Husker Twitter, do you have any opinions on who should or should not be receiving punts? I was making fun of the fact that literally every single person on Husker Twitter was like, I love the guy, but it's got to stop. They got to put somebody. I was like, just shut up. You're not a coach. All right. So, yeah, they made the adjustment. They had somebody else receiving punts, okay? Like, we don't need the peanut gallery to everybody just pile on the guy, okay? Like, obviously, not an ideal situation. They corrected it. Is he going to be back there receiving punts next week? I don't know. But, like, chill out, Twitter. Like, you don't need to tell Scott Frost what he's supposed to do on every play. Like, we get it.
Scott Frost does have like a really strong loyalty to his guys, so yeah. I'm kind of not surprised he put him back there again. But if he doesn't do that anymore this season, I won't be heartbroken.
Yeah, same.
And Brody Belt did what was the deal? He like fumbled one after he got hit. Was that the deal?
I can't remember.
He was not perfect either. There was a moment with him.
Oh right, so, like didn't like something? Does something go out of bounds? I know that was Cam Taylor Britt's moment. Anyway, yeah.
So many moments.
Yeah.
Kickoff return still stinks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got Xavier Betts returning two kickoffs for an average of 17 and a half yards. If you just fair caught those, you'd be on the 25 instead of the 20. I don't understand.
As far as I'm concerned, anybody who catches the ball in like inside the 25, just take a knee. Like, it's just
yeah.
Like, give your team a fighting chance, decent field position to
it's
start.
It's better field position. Please.
Certainly don't feel it on the 1 yard line. But
no.
Anyway. Yeah.
So we had a 100 yard receiver and we had a 100 yard rusher. So that's pretty exciting.
Like hearing that.
Yeah. Step, 18 carries for 101 yards. That's great. I'm looking at the number of guys who carried the ball here. Marquis Stepp, 18 carries. Logan Smothers, 4. Torre, 3. Martinez, 8. Sevion, 9. Marvin Scott, 6. Yant, 5. Ramir, 5. Gabe Irvin Jr., 6. Cooper Jewett, 1. That's 10 guys who rushed the ball.
Love it.
65 rushes for 329 yards, 5.1 yards per rush, and 6 touchdowns. The only thing that's not awesome is that the longest rush was 21 yards. That's the only thing that's not awesome. Whereas you look at receiving, Torre, Austin Allen, Omar Manning, Xavier Betts, Alante Brown, Chancellor Brewington, Levi Falk, and Savion Morrison all had receptions. And you had 3 receptions that went over 30 yards. Xavier had 1 catch for 30 yards. Omar Manning's longest was 32, and Torre's longest was 31. So that's good. You got to get those big plays. And, of course, none of this gets easier. The competition only goes up from here.
Yeah, as you were talking about the longest rush being 21 yards, I'm just like, okay, so in 2 weeks, that means the longest rush, like, divided by 4. You know, like, oh, boy. Okay. Brace yourselves.
But, man, Ryan Greenhagen, player of the day from Fordham, 30 tackles. 30 tackles.
Did you see the footage from the press conference?
Of Stepp?
Yep. He was shocked to learn that he had 30
tackles.
He's
like, no, you're joking. And they're like, no, seriously, he had 30.
He's
like, let me see the stat sheet. Yeah, that's... I don't know what to make of that. I don't know.
I mean, it just means it's flying all over the place, you know?
Yeah, I mean, did... how? Were we running all the plays at him? Is he like a Levante David where he's a savant and just can just tell where things are going to go? Or is I can't remember seeing how many like linebackers they had in at any given time.
I think I heard that that is tied for the record in Memorial Stadium for an opponent tackling, you know, just a tackling record. So
I think it was an FCS record for total tackles in a game.
Nice.
Yeah, that's crazy. Nice. So
okay, so, you know, I was talking about, you know, in 2 weeks, divide those numbers by four or whatever. But also, remember, Oklahoma was scared by an FCS team yesterday. Like, let's not
think Tulane's FCS, but they're a lower,
you know. Okay, whatever. Tulane.
But yeah, no, they were scared by Tulane University.
Yeah.
A private, small private school in New Orleans that was, they were playing in Oklahoma because of the Hurricane Ida forced Tulane to move the game from Tulane. So, that, I mean, just a crazy situation, and Tulane has no business being competitive with one of the top five teams in the country, but there they were trying going forward on fourth down at the end of the fourth quarter to potentially take the lead.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is not unheard of. You know, is it unlikely? Yes. But I'm going to keep waving that banner of it's possible, folks. Don't just assume that we're going to lose against Oklahoma in 2 weeks. And for that matter, don't just assume that we're going to win against Buffalo, right? Like, take care of business this week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all possible. Anything's possible. I'm going to approach that game like a win is possible.
Well, before we close the chapter on Fordham, let's turn it over to the Runza reaction line where we heard from you this week. And specifically, we're going to be hearing from Bill from Omaha and Matt from South Dakota. So first up is a message from Bill.
Hello, this message is from Bill in Omaha. And I just wanted to say that, the last game against Fordham was a win. Yes, it was. Was it impressive? I don't know, because they still struggled at the beginning of the game. Sure, they settled in, but who were they really stopping? And who were they really, you know, pushing through? That was kind of a team that really had no business being in Lincoln. So at the end of this game, sure, we got a win. Sure, we covered. But I still have questions. Does Scott Frost know how to evaluate personnel? Looking at some of the seconds that were put in, should some of the seconds be first? Should some of the firsts be seconds? We don't know. I think that Scott Frost still has some, obviously, has some things to prove. And I think that maybe there's a evaluation of personnel problem in Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah, I really hope he turns things around in Lincoln. And, go Big Red, but, skeptically, we'll see. We'll see. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, it sounds like this Bill's comment here just makes me think of our earlier conversation where we're talking about, do you take this with a grain of salt? You know, where do you see strengths and weaknesses? And it's hard. It's hard to see. It's hard to take too much away, like in depth. I mean, you can take away big picture, like it's nice to see such and such play. We're going to learn a lot more about this team as we go. I don't think Stepp got the first carries at Illinois, and he did yesterday with Fordham. So, you know, there's ongoing evaluation. I don't know. There's clearly Scott has a ways to go. He's got objectively one of the worst records of a fourth year coach in Nebraska history. I mean, there's no questioning that. So
who would have thought when we hired Frost that his record would be worse than Callahan's? You know,
yeah,
like
Riley. Yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just think back to like. I remember under Callahan, like, how just angry and unhappy the fan base was. And here we are going through something worse, you know? Yeah. Like, ugh. But, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I just... I see the point, and we're going to learn a lot this year.
Yeah. It reminds me of some of the conversations that we've had coming out of the spring game. Like, can you really know how good your team is after a game like that? Not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, maybe a game like this informs you a little bit more, but Bill's right. Like, whereas I was saying earlier, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's also not, like, put the baby on a pedestal. Okay, the analogy is breaking down. Let's move on to the next voicemail.
No baby idolatry here.
Right. No king baby. All right, so up next is Matt from South Dakota.
Hey, guys. This is Matt from Avon, South Dakota. I just wanted to call in and breathe easy. Good win for the Huskers. It was fun to watch. Lots of points put up on the board. Lots of different ball carriers. Yeah, we've got some definite areas to work on, but it looked like Martinez was comfortable in the pocket and was willing to stick in there and wait for his receivers to get their routes going. I mean, Toure had, you know, over 100 yards, and it was great to see step it up. I didn't mean for that to be a pun. Put a hundo on the board for rushing yards. I wish I would have saw him in the end zone a couple times, but yeah, I get to see Yant out there just, you know, the kid gets 5 yards falling backwards, you know, let's keep doing that. So, and you know, we had a spotting of Chancellor Brewington the third. It's good to see a lot of playmakers making plays and different things. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys. Love the podcast. Sounds great. Thanks. Bye.
Justin, what's the deal with Chancellor Brewington? Do people just like his name? I feel like that's all it is.
It's a really fun name.
Like, I mean, like, Prince Amukamara, he was great, but, like, he was also a really good player.
Chancellor Brewington is just beginning to shine. Was he a transfer? Was Chancellor a transfer?
Yes.
Transfer Chancellor Brewington?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he played a couple of years at a...
Community college?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Junior college? Yeah. No, I appreciate the positivity here from Matt, and yeah, I mean, if there's one thing we've learned in the last 20 years, the last 4 years, the last 7 years, however you want to think about it, is that you got to enjoy the wins.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a win.
It's kind of the yin to Bill's yang.
Yeah. Anytime you're seeing the bench clear, and not for a fight, but because you're putting in backups, that's a good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like those games. I feel like people talk about wanting to go to the really close nail biters against top teams. I like blowouts. That's sure. Right. My preferred game is a blowout. I don't love any mystery after the first quarter.
That'd be great.
Call me a coward, and maybe I am, but I like those games better.
Dude, you know what would be great this year is if we did good in the third quarter.
Yeah, how did we? I think we did pretty good in this third quarter.
Yeah, but I mean, like, going forward.
Yeah, okay.
That's something
yeah.
I'm going to pay attention to.
We got to take this game with a grain of salt, right, you might say.
Right, yeah, so... Well, to close things out, I think we have a little bit of news we want to share, a little bit of an update.
Well, yeah, we got to talk about long snappers. Mike and I were pretty rusty last week. We just blew through a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was only one long snapper played last week. This week, we went back to what we've done in the past, which was splitting reps. Cameron Piper took the short snaps, like the field goals and the PATs, and Cade Mueller was the punt long snapper. So thank you to our eyes in the sky for helping monitor the punting, the long snapping situation. It's really helpful. Yeah, I remember when talking about Chase in the past, one of the reasons Chase got the start was because he was faster down the field on mm-hmm. punt coverage. That's a really big deal. So maybe that means they like Cameron is – maybe he's got more zip on his ball for those – kicks and Cade is faster down the field. I'm totally speculating here, but that could be why there's a difference there.
Right on.
Unfortunately, no updates to SP Plus from last week
because they're still playing games as of this recording.
Yeah, last week was week zero, so there are no other significant games, or not that many. And we're recording here on Sunday evening, and there's games going on right now, and I think there's even a game or two tomorrow. So no fresh stats, but I guess as a reminder from our season preview, dug up my old notes here, Buffalo is a likely win in SP+. They have the 88th overall team, 88th best offense, and 78th best defense, according to SP+.
Okay.
Which was actually really close to Illinois, so don't don't take too much comfort there. But they rolled. Who did they roll? They won like 69-7.
I was gonna say all I know is I saw something like 500 plus yards of offense. So
Wagner.
Okay.
Wagner, that powerhouse from who I don't even know where Wagner is. The Wagner Seahawks. In the NEC division. I don't know who that is.
Yep.
But they got smoked. So the quarterback from Buffalo threw a 63-yard touchdown pass in the first minute of the game, and they're off to the races from there. 14, 24, 21, and 10 points in each in the four quarters. So, yeah, not too shabby. You know, they're probably feeling pretty good about that. So, you know, you've got a new coach there at Buffalo, and their coaching staff, not only is it a new coaching staff, but it was kind of a last minute deal. So they haven't had a ton of time with the team. But they've got a lot of senior leadership, a lot of upperclassmen. It was a good team that went from being kind of like a nerve wracking, potentially, non-conference opponent to like, oh, okay, yeah, we should be fine now with the coach getting fired, but you know, they're gonna be coming in confident.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And ready to try and spring the upset. So looks like,
well, I mean, that just comes back to something that we talked about last week, is like there's all these teams that think, or you know, the fan bases that think they got approved to Nebraska, like it is time for you to eat your humble pie, right? I also feel like some of these teams, they have seen the way things have gone at Nebraska the last few years. I think Buffalo comes in thinking this game is winnable, right? And so we need to be mindful of that. And that's what I was saying earlier, is that Nebraska, they better be preparing for this game just as well as they do for Oklahoma. That's what I hope.
Sure. Like, yeah.
Mindset needs to be exactly the same. I don't care that, you know, people are like, oh, we opened as a double-digit favorite over this team. You know, I'm looking right now at ESPN. They got us at 62.3%. You know, but I get nervous. You know, this is a MAC team. I don't want to see any MACtion happening this Saturday. Let's squelch. Is that the right word? Let's quell the MACtion.
MACtion squelching seems like a good idea to me. Hey, I mentioned we were a little rusty last week. We totally forgot to pick winners for the Runs of Reaction.
And we just almost did it again.
Coupons. No, I caught it.
Good
so,
catch.
Yeah, last week, Caleb, who thought he was bad luck, he's a good luck guy because we're sending him a coupon. We'll be in touch, Caleb.
Hey! Congratulations, Caleb. We're turning it around.
And Nick from Idaho, planning to be back for the Northwestern game, will be sending you a coupon as well. So when you get back here, you got one of your meals covered.
Boom. Love it.
And this week, since we went with these two voicemails, Bill and Matt, will be sending you guys some free Runs of Coupon combo coupons as well. And those are going to be good for like years to come. So
I mean, like, they're one use only, but they, yeah.
Right, yeah, but you don't have to, like, make sure you're coming back to town anytime soon.
Right,
if you're
right.
Coming from out of town. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Buffalo, as we just were.
Oh!
And speaking of our sponsors, we are going to have a return of the Beat 'em and Eat 'em contest? What do we call
it? Like, it's the promotion. It's
promo,
the Beat 'em,
yeah.
Eat 'em promotion. I feel like the football gods have smiled upon this podcast the last few years, because like we had Colorado, and now that the Colorado thing's done, like here
but we're
going to
have them again in the future.
I know, it's crazy.
So another Beat 'em and Eat 'em promo opportunity. So yeah, Central Nebraska Buffalo is going to be giving away some free buffalo, and you can win it. What we'll do is we
wait. They're giving away as a pet. You can win a buffalo.
Thank you, Mike, for encouraging me to be more specific. Free buffalo meat. We will tweet a picture of whatever cut of meat it is. We haven't figured that out just yet, so I don't want to go on the record and say it's going to be this one. It's really that. But stay tuned. This week, we'll be tweeting a picture of the meat, and you need to like it, retweet it, and make sure you're following both us and Central Nebraska Buffalo on Twitter in order to be entered to win. And then we'll randomly choose a winner towards the end of the week, I guess. Maybe we should... I don't know. Should we do that Friday, Mike? What do you think?
Friday sounds good to me.
Okay, Friday. So you can know by game day. One more thing to celebrate.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think in previous years, wasn't it a couple of steaks that we've sent out before? Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
So
we'll get something good. We'll be in touch with Kendra and figure out exactly what cut of meat. I just don't want to be wrong.
I do know is that their meat is delicious. And if you've never dipped your toes into the world of bison, this is your opportunity. Get some free meat. It's gonna be awesome. What better promo for a Nebraska football podcast than free meat? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, unless you're a vegetarian, but.
But I mean, like, this is Nebraska. We don't have those in Nebraska. Like. I'm just kidding. If you're a vegetarian, it's okay. We still like you.
Yeah.
But since we're in Nebraska, we like to make those jokes. But anyway.
You know, what else we like here is we like Monty Rohde and his ability to help you buy or sell your home, especially in a crazy home sale environment. It just continues to be wild out there, folks. So you need to be working with someone you trust. So give Monty a call or shoot him a text and start talking to him about what it looks like to sell your home or to buy your next home. Be prepared. Call Monty. Right.
Because, I mean, like, if you're gonna buy some buffalo meat, you got to store it somewhere. You can't just keep it in your pocket. You got to get a fridge. And if you're going to get a fridge, you need a house to put that fridge in. So
I like the way you're thinking. So, call Monty, 402-770-3356.
There you go.
Well, Mike, I think we kept it pretty high level today. I don't know about you. It just didn't feel like a conversation where you had to go, like, a mile deep into the...
I'm fine with that, man.
Blocking looked better, but of course it's going to look better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Buffalo will be a good test. I guess one last thing, Mike. We need to talk score predictions here.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Well, I think we're going to win.
Yeah, I think so, too. Mm-hmm. You have to.
Yeah, that's a rule on the Husker Pod. You always have to predict Nebraska wins. So I'm going to go with I don't know if you would call it unconventional score, but I'm going to say 38-15 Nebraska. I don't know how you get to 15. I don't know how you get to 15.
Five field goals.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's just going to be a bunch of field goals. Maybe, I don't know.
Two missed extra points.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, it has happened in recent history that a team missed two extra points and made a field goal.
I wasn't trying to do that, but you're right.
I'm going to stick with 31 like I picked last week. I'm going to go 31-21. I think it's probably closer than Husker fans would like, but hopefully we can commit to the run. We can just keep being run the dang ball guys.
I like it. I would be A-okay with that.
I would love to see run commitment. Love to see it.
You know what, Justin, I'm committing to right now?
What?
Ending this podcast. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red, Mike.
The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.